America and the world. This is Radio Free Market, and I'm your guest host, Pat Barron, sitting in for regular host and founder of Radio Free Market, Michael McKay. And we have a special, two special guests here today. As you know, we are behind the lines of socialism, my friends, and this is the Radio Free Market, and we're the voice of free people and free markets. So today, we have a very interesting guest who has had been up close and personal, as you might say, in defending our constitutional rights and our federalist system. We have two people on the line, and we have Richard Mack, retired sheriff from Arizona. Hello, Richard.
Hi, how's it going? It's good to be with you, and thank you. It's wonderful to be with you, and I thank you so much for that.
Well, thank you, Richard, for being with us. And also, we have a special commentator on the line, which is Chester County Sheriff Carolyn Bunny Welsh. Bunny is the only female sheriff in Pennsylvania, one of the few in the nation. But Bunny is a good friend of mine and a good neighbor of mine. And Bunny, I believe you're in your third term.
I was just elected to my fourth term, Pat.
Fourth term. Oh, mm-hmm. How quickly time flies.
Yeah, when you're having fun.
And you're having fun.
Right.
Well, Richard, I think we'll start out the first question with you is if you would discuss briefly, and we've got about 3 minutes left in this first very short segment, if you could give us a synopsis of the issue that really brought you to prominence in America, which was your defense of your constitutional rights over the Brady Bill. So could you just discuss that for our audience?
Yeah, well, I was a small-town sheriff in Arizona, and that's all I wanted to be. I didn't plan on being an activist or get out and start fighting the federal government. That was the furthest thing from my mind. But I did run on a constitutional platform, and I had studied the Constitution extensively throughout my law enforcement career. And then the Brady Bill came into law, and three BATF agents came to a Sheriff's Association meeting in Phoenix, Arizona, where I was attending. And there's only 12 sheriffs in attendance. There's only 15 counties in Arizona. And these agents bring us a document and said, look, this is what you have to do. This document details your marching orders as to what you have to do, because the President and the United States Congress said that you guys, the sheriffs, have to comply with the Brady Bill, and you have to conduct criminal and mental history background checks on every citizen in your county who wishes to purchase a handgun. And we never heard this. Bill Clinton didn't say anything about this when he signed the Brady Bill into law. No one ever mentioned that the sheriffs were going to be required to participate in this federal gun control scheme. And it was gun control. It amended the Gun Control Act of 1968. Made pursuant to the Kennedy assassinations. And we're sitting here looking at each other and said, since when do we take orders from the federal government or from BATF? And anyway, they said that you have to supply all the budgetary requirements for this to conduct these background checks. You have to use your personnel, you have to use your office, your budget, and this is the first time in U.S. history, and this is true, Bunny can vouch for this because I've showed it to her before and she's been to my seminars before. They actually, the Brady Bill actually contained, because Congress and the President put it in there, that if we failed to comply, we were subject to a year in jail. We were subject to federal arrest and a federal fine, or both. And so this is the first time in U.S. history that the Office of Sheriff is being commandeered for federal bidding without negotiation, without contract, without any input from the sheriffs, and carrying with it no money, no carrot on the stick treatment, but a threat of arrest if we fail to comply.
Well, thank you, Richard, for that very, very brief synopsis of the issue. And as you can hear, we're coming to the end of our first segment. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back with Sheriff Richard Mack and Sheriff Carolyn Bunny Welsh. Stay tuned. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pat Barron, your guest host for Radio Free Market. And I'm going to give you the call-in number right now, although we're going to hold off on taking calls probably until we come back from another commercial break. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. Again, that's 800-313-9443. But before we actually start taking some calls, we want Sheriff Richard Mack and Sheriff Bunny Welsh to continue to discuss Sheriff Mack's successful lawsuit against the federal government against his required enforcement of the Brady Bill. And during the intermission, Sheriff Welsh from Pennsylvania was making some good points about this. So, Bunny, would you care to tell our listeners your comments?
Certainly. I think what's really important, too, to understand is the federal government or anyone coming in and trying to commandeer the sheriff's office, the sheriff, or force any action by the sheriff is outrageous, because the sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer and answers to the people. The sheriff, Richard Mack, was then the sheriff of Graham County. I'm the sheriff here in Pennsylvania. I'm elected by the people. I respond to the people. I am a servant of the people. I am a public servant. No one, especially the federal government, can come in and commandeer either my office or me to try to either enforce or implement what they want me to do. I answer only to the people.
That's very interesting, Bunny, and I know you and I have talked about this in the past, and I do want to come back to this discussion of where elected offices of the sheriff are actually being eliminated, much to the detriment of the people's liberty. But right now, I wonder if we could return to you, Richard, and if you could continue your narrative of what actually transpired when you decided that the Brady Bill was an unconstitutional infringement upon your and the citizens' rights.
Bunny was right on, and I think everybody needs to remember that. It's such a key component of all this, and I should say Sheriff Welch. She is sheriff, and she's also a close friend, and so it's hard for me to remember when I should be calling her Sheriff Welch and also Bunny. But she is the sheriff of Chester County in Pennsylvania, and she does report only to the people of Chester County. She does not report to a bureaucrat. She does not report to a county manager or to the county commissioners, even though she has to. There are some things by law she has to do to work with the county commissioners, and those are mostly budgetary items. However, she has no other boss or supervisor other than we the people. And that in itself presents a great deal of power, because all power is vested or granted by we the people. And those are the first words of the Constitution, we the people. And so in that regard, when the Brady Bill came out and I saw the unconstitutional nature, first of all, it required me to participate in a federal gun control scheme, thereby forcing me to violate my oath of office. Because each sheriff swears before he or she can take her position, before Sheriff Welch can assume her position as sheriff once again in January, she must first swear an oath of allegiance to the United States Constitution, not to state statutes, not to the governor, not to the president, but to the Constitution itself. And this is done by, for, and of the people of Chester County. And there is nothing that can supersede the Constitution. And that's why the sheriffs of Pennsylvania are in such a between a rock and a hard spot, is because the state legislature has actually passed some unconstitutional laws that are diminishing the power and role of the sheriff. And the sheriffs are now put in a position of, which one do I side with? And there is a constitutional crisis occurring in this country today. And the sheriffs are all going to have to decide whose side they're really on, and just whether or not they really are going to keep that oath that they have sworn. And that's the key component of all of this, and that's the reason why I filed a lawsuit, is because I wanted to keep my oath of office.
And I wonder, Richard, if you did win the lawsuit, and what was the constitutional provision that the Supreme Court decided that the Brady Bill was in violation of?
Well, our motivation was a huge part of our motivation was protecting the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, and that it cannot be infringed. But we did not file on the Second Amendment. And I had the NRA provide a lot of legal counsel and a lot of the funding for this lawsuit. They were all over it. They really wanted to go after this. But they told me at the very beginning, and I hired my own lawyer as well to work with the NRA, but they told me at the very beginning we had no standing on the Second Amendment because the sheriffs were all exempt from the criminal and mental history background checks. We could get a gun without going through the background checks. All you had to do is badge yourself at the gun shop to any FFL, any firearm licensee, and you could just get your gun. You didn't have to go through the background check. So I had no standing. I had no damage. But the NRA told me we have an airtight case on the 10th Amendment. And I said, states' rights? They said, yes, of course. Because of states' rights and because of the 10th Amendment, the federal government has no authority to tell you to do anything, whether it's the Brady Bill, Obamacare, and of course they didn't say that then, but it applies now. It doesn't matter what the states are trying to shove down our throats, whether it's EPA regulations, IRS abuses, OSHA, FDA, go on down the list of all of these, Department of Education coming in and trying to do a SWAT team raid in your county. They cannot come in and tell us what to do. They can't order us around. We are not subject to federal direction. They can't fire Sheriff Welch. They can't fire Sheriff Arpaio in Phoenix. They can't fire or hire any sheriffs. I do not report to my congressman. I do not report to the president. I report to the people of Graham County, Arizona, just like Sheriff Welch reports to the people of Chester County. This was an airtight 10th Amendment decision. I regret to report that it was a 5-4 split, but the Democrats said, yes, the federal government can tell the sheriffs what to do. And the five Republicans on the court said, of course they can't. It was written by Justice Scalia, very powerful. This is, and I'm challenging anybody to look at the case. You can get it at sheriffmack.com. Read the entire case, but this is the most powerful 10th Amendment decision in the history of America. It tells you emphatically, without question, without ambiguity, that the states are sovereign, that we are not subject to federal direction. And let me tell you this. Let me ask all your listeners a question. They might want to call in and try to answer this for us. I hope some liberals will try to set me straight on this. If we're not subject to federal direction, that means the president, who is a federal employee, can't tell me or anybody else in the state or county what to do. That means Congress can't tell us what to do. If Congress and the president can't tell us what to do and we're not subject to federal direction, then how did the EPA get authority to tell us what to do?
Very good.
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I think that gets right to the heart of the whole issue. Sheriff Mack, I know you've written a couple books. One, it was called The Victory for State Sovereignty, and I have not read that book. I just saw that you had written it.
That's just a little tiny booklet that fits in your front pocket of your shirt. It's a pocket-sized brief or a summary of the highlights of the Supreme Court decision. It is The Victory for State Sovereignty, and it tells you about this case. You can read it in 10 minutes where that question I just asked is basically answered, and there's a page in there where Scalia talks about how the EPA was ruled to be unconstitutional in the early 1970s. And so, you know, it really makes you wonder how these things happen in America, and the problem is it's been piecemeal. Piece by piece, the federal government has stolen power from the states, stolen sovereignty from the states, and we've gone along because they've given us money and grants. And they supposedly do these backroom deals to build another dam or another bridge or do some other earmarks for the states, and the states acquiesce and go along. Well, we've got to stop doing that, and we've got to start keeping the money in our own states and taking care of our own states and problems without asking the federal government to babysit us.
And Richard, where can the listeners obtain a copy of your many books?
The other book I think you were going to mention is The County Sheriff, America's
yes.
Last Hope.
Right.
And both of those books are available at sheriffmack.com.
Sheriffmack, M-A-C-K.com.
Yes.
Very good. Well, this has been very interesting. We've got just about a minute left. I wonder if I could swing this over to Bunny a little bit. And Bunny,
I'd like Bunny to say how she feels about the County Sheriff of America's Last Hope book.
I think it was probably one of the most eye-opening. That originally, Richard, when you wrote that, and I don't know when, it's been several years ago. And it was distributed. The encouragement was for people who understood what Richard was writing about to be sure every sheriff received a copy of the book to make that sheriff, to make him or her understand the real power of the office of the sheriff. And there have been tremendous strides by individuals and groups to be sure that book is widely distributed to make everyone aware of what the real strength and power of the county sheriff is.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can hear the background music. We are coming to the end of this very, very interesting program. There'll be more, so please stay tuned. I'm your guest host on Radio Free Market, Pat Barron, and we'll be right back with Sheriff Mack and Sheriff Welch. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Radio Free Market, ladies and gentlemen. This is your guest host, Pat Barron. And I have on the line today Sheriff Richard Mack from Arizona and Sheriff Bunny Welch from Pennsylvania. And I'm going to give you the call-in number again because we will start accepting phone calls. The call-in number, if you have a question for Sheriff Mack or Sheriff Welch, is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. So I think if we could swing this over to you, Sheriff Welch, and have you comment a little bit more on what I feel is a very key, important provision for the freedom and sovereignty of the people, and that is that you as a sheriff are an elected official rather than appointed. And could you, or if you would just address that issue for us.
Sure, Pat. The difference is fairly simple. When you're in a municipality, a borough, a township, a city, for example, here in Pennsylvania, we have 67 counties, and here in my county, we have 73 municipalities. Each of those boroughs or townships may have its own law enforcement agency, a local police department. Those officers also take an oath to support, obey, and defend the Constitution. However, they report to the governing body of that. For example, in a township, it may be the township commissioners. In a borough, the borough council. In the city of Philadelphia here, the city council. So while those individual law enforcement officers take the oath, take the same constitutional oath, they still are reporting to the bureaucracy or the local governing body. The state police report to the governor. People don't like to hear me say this, but I refer to the state police as the governor's police. So each of those levels of law enforcement reports to the bureaucracy or the governing body. The thing that makes the sheriff above and beyond all of that is when he or she takes her oath to the Constitution, they report to the people. There is no governing body. As Richard mentioned, I do have to go to the county commissioners for my budget. But other than that, what happens in the sheriff's office and the actions in the sheriff's office, myself and my deputies, I report directly to the people, and I have to be true to my oath, my constitutional oath, unlike what has happened with the other, for example, the state police who really report to the bureaucracy or report to the governor.
Well, I think that's, I believe that's a very key, important point in why the power and authority of the sheriff must not be undermined. And I wonder if either of you, Richard or Bunny, would be interested in discussing some of the challenges that you see at the state level. I know perhaps we could just stick with you, Bunny. I know in Pennsylvania I'm aware of the challenges that you have in the way that the state legislature has tried to undermine your authority. I wonder if you could tell our listeners what's been happening there.
Well, there were two very incorrect decisions by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. They were split decisions, but they went against the power and authority, allegedly the power and authority of the sheriff, in their decisions, putting into question the fact that while the sheriffs may have constitutional power and authority, they were not included in the statutes. They didn't have statutory authority. Well, the sheriffs of Pennsylvania have said, wait, hold on a minute. We have our constitutional authority. We never abrogated that. And just because statutes were written in the Pennsylvania Crimes Code 40, 50 years ago, it did not include the sheriffs. It did not mean that the sheriffs abrogated their power and authority. Well, it has been an ongoing and continues to be attempt, and there's really two sides, and it gets complicated, but whether the sheriff should try again to put clarify, I'm going to use clarify, their powers in statutes to be sure it's understood, or why, if they should not even bother to do that and should stand solidly upon their constitutional power and authority, even though it's been challenged in two very, very bad Pennsylvania Supreme Court decisions. So it's really blurred and made it very difficult for the 67 sheriffs in the Commonwealth, because it's an ongoing disagreement, and the sheriffs stand on their constitutional power, and yet others question because they were not included in the statutes as written when the state police came in.
Now, the sheriff's powers and authorities in these different 50 states are not all the same. Is that correct?
That's correct. And sadly, in the state of Connecticut, where there were eight counties, that sheriff's office has been abolished. It was done by referendum, and those eight sheriffs were replaced and made. Actually, part of the deal was if the sheriff stepped aside and didn't fight that, they would be made a marshal. So the eight counties in Connecticut no longer have a sheriff. They have a marshal, which is part of the bureaucracy.
So the marshal,
very sad.
So the marshal is hired by the federal justice.
Correct.
Department.
Correct, and does not report to the people.
That's very. So there's another layer where the people cannot get to their government, whereas they could have, prior to this, gotten directly to their law enforcement official by talking to you, and you would know that it was the people who were sovereign.
That's correct, and it's a very sad situation. What happened in Connecticut is outrageous.
It is outrageous. Well, as you can hear, these segments go so quickly, so we're coming to the end of another segment, but the next one will have a very long segment, and we'll be right back with Sheriff Richard Mack from Arizona and Sheriff Bunny Welsh from Pennsylvania, so please stay with us. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Radio Free Market. I am your guest host, Pat Barron, and my guests today are Sheriff Richard Mack from Arizona and Sheriff Carolyn Bunny Welsh from Pennsylvania. And during this segment, Sheriff Mack, I'd like you to talk about what could be some of the solutions that you are working on with Sheriff Welsh and other like-minded sheriffs in the nations to find a solution to this encroachment by the federal government on your powers.
Well, everybody needs to know that the entire Constitution was set up as a huge system of checks and balances. The federal government is not allowed carte blanche or omnipotency in any way. In fact, the Constitution was written specifically to limit the central government, the federal government, and the Founding Fathers specifically devised a Constitution that would prevent any recurrences of King George III abuses. And so when they first were told that the Constitution needed a Bill of Rights, that the federal government could never do again. And then they dwindled them down to 12, And the states, mind you, the states ratified 10. And those Bill of Rights were a result of the power of the states. And another thing we need to be reminded of here is that the states formed the federal government. They created the federal government and assigned them very discrete and enumerated powers. They did not create this all-powerful, all-knowing, micromanaging federal government to come in and rule our lands, our air, our education, our farms, our ranches, and dictate every facet of our lives. And this has all been a usurpation and contrary to the intent of the Founding Fathers. The federal government is not supreme. They have a few assignments they're supposed to do. Those are delineated in Article 1, Section 8. Anything outside Article 1, Section 8, you must refer to the 10th Amendment. But the question remains here, who enforces the 10th Amendment? Who protects and preserves state sovereignty and local autonomy? Well, that's not going to be the federal government. Quite to the contrary, the federal government has always been chipping away at that. In fact, they're the ones, as Bunny pointed out, they're the ones that have been running amok and got rid of the office of sheriff in Connecticut. Now, it wasn't specifically done by the federal government, but they had some complicity with it because they offered all these sheriffs U.S. Marshal jobs and were ready to go. Hey, look, if you guys will give up the sheriff position, we'll give you a job with the federal government. And people should have been really suspicious about that. And we should all be very suspicious about the diminishing of power of sheriffs in Pennsylvania and Massachusetts and Rhode Island and some of the other eastern states.
Richard, if you could quickly talk about the convention that you have organized, because we have Betty, who is waiting on the line with the question for you.
Oh, good, we got Betty. So the solution is this, that we have sheriffs who have the courage to stand up all across America to protect and preserve the United States Constitution and thereby protecting the rights of the individuals in their county. We have sheriffs doing that right now in Indiana and Oregon and Utah and Arizona and even California. And we have about 10 sheriffs from California coming to our National Sheriff Constitutional Sheriff Convention. And that's going to be on January 30th, 2012. And we're inviting 150 to 200 sheriffs nationwide. Sheriff Welch is going to be there. She's helping us get other sheriffs to attend. And it's going to be the most freedom-enhancing, constitution-restoring convention since the formation by the founders of the Bill of Rights. And we need everybody's help to help us raise funds to make this a fantastic convention and invite more sheriffs. It's going to cost about $1,000 per sheriff. And we're opening this up to people to raise money to bring your sheriff and to pay for your sheriff to get there. We've only raised about $60,000, and we need to double that within the next few weeks. So we really need everybody's help. This is just a grassroots effort to make this all happen. I don't have enough money to do it. I know Sheriff Welch doesn't have that kind of money. So we're just asking the public to help us with this and get involved with us in making this happen.
Well, that's excellent. Well, perhaps we can have you on the show after the convention and find out how things went. So right now, I understand that we have Betty from Arizona holding on the line. Betty, are you there?
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Hi. I have a question, actually, for Sheriff Welch. I live in Arizona now, but I'm from Chester County. My sister was telling me about a situation there that I smell ickly all over. The township, five township supervisors in East Vincent Township decided to condemn a prime piece of land that a horse association owned. And they've been trying to buy it from them, and they wouldn't sell it. So they decided to condemn it. And, of course, that horse county there is all up in arms and storming the township building and demanding meetings and all. Do you have any authority over that type of thing?
Richard, do you want to address that?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. Of course we do. Agenda 21 and anything else. If there is anyone coming into your county And I don't care who it is. I don't care. IRS, FBI, street gangs, drug dealers, cartels, anybody that comes into your county and destroys freedom, destroys rights, starts programs that are going to diminish the right to keep and bear arms, or they're going to actually do door-to-door confiscations because the United Nations wants small handguns out of the homes of Americans, and they're right now working on a small arms treaty with Hillary Clinton and the State Department. I don't care where the threat is. I don't care who brings the threat into your county, the sheriff and other local officials, and I don't care if it's the chief of police, local police officers, state police. They all swear the same oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. It's just too bad that they report and work for the state or the other bureaucracies, and they put regulations and other policies above the Constitution, and they self-appoint supremacy. They self-appoint them, their programs and their departments and their bureaucracies, supremacy above the Constitution. If we had peace officers and sheriffs in this country totally dedicating themselves to the Constitution and their oath of office and being nitpicky as much about the Bill of Rights and the preservation of the Bill of Rights as they do traffic enforcement, we will win this war for freedom tomorrow. And I say war because it is a war, but it's a philosophical one. And Money also knows that I've said this many, many times. This is an effort to keep this movement for freedom and to preserve our Constitution in a peaceful and effective manner. And if the sheriffs of this country get on board this holy cause of liberty, we will do both. We will protect our citizens in a peaceful manner, and it's because we have sheriffs with the courage to interpose themselves against ICLEI, Agenda 21, or any other threat that comes into our counties.
And, Betty, I think you're going to find in that particular situation that the I believe there are enough elected officials and people opposed to any kind of a land grab. I think you're going to find them successful, but I have been following that particular incident. That's up in the northern part of the county, correct?
I think you're right, Bonnie. Yeah.
Is she still there?
No, I don't think she's
still. Okay. And I think you're going to find there are not only the sheriff, but other elected officials that are really going to stand strong, and that will come out all right. But what a shame to have to defend ourselves.
Well, at least, Bunny, this is Pat again. At least, Betty, you can hear that there are honest and people with integrity who are in government, and these are your local sheriffs, and they do need your support. We have a couple other people on the line that are waiting, and I'd like to get to them. We have Tony from Florida, who has been waiting for quite a while. Tony, are you there?
Yes, Sheriff Bonnie. I'll get to the point here. I don't understand how you sheriffs work, you know, with the FBI, Department of Homeland Security. When they come into your county, do you ever enforce federal warrants for them? And what I mean by that is, do you ever go out and, you know, arrest people on behalf of them and then hand, you know, these people over to them and then they take custody? And the reason I'm asking this is because of this Section 1031, 1032 of the Defense Appropriations Bill that the Congress passed yesterday, which basically put us into martial law. And sooner or later, they're going to be going out in their counties and arresting suspected terrorists. I just want to know, you know, what's the deal on in that, and have you looked into this? Are you going to cooperate with these people on this?
Well, I've never been, if you're asking me if I have, I have not, and I've never been approached. Richard, I don't know about you, but I've never been approached by any federal agency coming in trying to get me to enforce, if I'm hearing you right, trying to get me to enforce a federal warrant. Richard had that.
No, I think that sometimes asks the local sheriff to accompany them, you know, show us where this guy lives. But I think the biggest danger that reminded me of what the caller was talking about is this Senate Bill 1867 that is allowing the military now to take action against citizens. And this is really going to separate the men from the boys or the girls from the women, because we do have Sheriff Watts on here. One of the few female sheriffs in the country. But the Senate and the Congress and the President now promulgating legislation that is going to allow the military to attack citizens in this country and basically suspend the Bill of Rights almost in a martial law fashion, that this really should be alarming and scaring every citizen and putting every sheriff on notice. We've got to do something more now to protect our citizens. This 1867 was the most heinous and unconstitutional law. It's almost a twin, but a lot worse of the Patriot Act. Much more, maybe as unconstitutional, but much more destructive in a way, because it allows the military to just haul people off and, you know, they don't have to charge them, they don't have to do anything because it's a military action, so they can just treat them like Guantanamo Bay detainees and just keep them in there forever. This entire bill is unnecessary, and I think it's extremely alarming, and I don't think there's anything else that's going on in America that's going to supersede the fear we should all be sensing just from that alone. And so we've got to get the sheriffs educated, local authorities, not just sheriffs, but the bottom line is the sheriff is the ultimate authority in the county. The sheriff is the supreme executive and law enforcement in the county and parish where he and she works and resides. And now we're having this national convention to try to come together with a solution that all the sheriffs in this country can agree upon, and an agenda that we can take back to our states and work with our state sheriffs associations and say, hey, you know what? We really learned a lot in this one-day seminar in Las Vegas with other sheriffs. We learned a lot from other sheriffs. We see what they're doing. We're seeing what the attacks from our own government towards the people. And we think we worked out a pretty good solution. And so I believe we need to put the federal government on notice. You can pass all these ridiculous laws you want to, and you can even get your Supreme Court to support some of these if you want. But we're not going along. And we're going to take a strong stand. And that's really where we're at, and that's what this convention is all about. And again, this is an attempt to keep this peaceful.
That's great. I applaud you for that, Richard, and I hope you're successful on behalf of all of us. And again, the website that you can go to read about this and make a donation, I believe, is the CSPOA.org. That stands for Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. That's www.cspoa.org. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. Or you can go to another one. It might be easier to remember. We have a sister website at countysheriffproject.org. And they kind of link to each other, but if you'd like, just go to countysheriffproject.org and help us in any way that you can. And, boy, we need volunteers for a lot of different things, but the main thing right now, we have got to raise more on our fundraising attempt, because we really want to have 150 to 200 sheriffs there, and I think we can get that. But if we can't afford to get them there, this meeting isn't going to go too well.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. I wonder if we could get to David from New Mexico, who has been very, very patiently holding for his question. And, David, are you on the line?
I certainly am, and I have supported Richard Mack ever since he was in Tucson fighting the Brady Bill. But I have a question. This terrible travesty of justice, the Senate Bill 1867, which essentially gutted the entire Bill of Rights, I've had my local congressman assure me, oh, that's only going to be used against terrorists and not Americans.
But I didn't pass it at all.
But I tried to remind him that there's been government documents like that MIAC report that, you know, anything could be called terrorism. And they even listed people who support the Constitution as potential terrorists.
We've already been fighting 3 wars going after terrorists. They need to pass 1867 to allow that to occur. This whole bill was unnecessary unless it was aimed at Americans. We're already fighting wars, and we've already passed legislation to do that.
But my question for you and Sheriff Welch is, what will happen if the county sheriff decides to actually make a stand for the Constitution and the military swoops in and says that he's inciting the people against the government, and he's going to be in detention, and he just disappears and gets replaced with a government agent from Washington. How are you going to handle that?
Well, I don't, you know, Bunny might not be in a position to really answer that right now, but I'll tell you right now, that's another reason we're having the convention, is so that we can make this a united effort and not have just, you know, one or two sheriffs doing it here and there. But if we have hundreds of sheriffs doing this, then I guarantee you there will be no stopping it.
I think that is, I think that is the case. Just as the, as an individual citizen can't stand up against, the, you know, the power of the government, but many together can certainly do that. And, I think that's what really is needed, Richard and Bunny and David is for, I applaud Sheriff Mack for, getting these sheriffs together, and I applaud Bunny for supporting Sheriff Mack in this endeavor, because the people like ourselves, David, we're out here all by ourselves, and we need someone to defend us. We need
right.
someone to stand up for our rights.
And it's educating the people as to what is going on. I think that's really key, David.
Well, we're coming to the end of this segment. We just got a few seconds left, so ladies and gentlemen, please stand by for our finale, a little short segment which we'll wrap up here in just a few minutes. This is Pat Barron with Radio Free Market, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our final segment of Radio Free Market. I'm Pat Barron, your guest host, with Sheriffs Richard Mack from Arizona and Sheriff Bunny Welsh from Pennsylvania. We've had a great discussion so far about how the sheriffs are organizing themselves to stand up for our freedoms, and the sheriffs' organizational efforts really need your support. We did talk about the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association Convention, and I just wonder, Sheriff Mack and Bunny, if, well, what else can the common citizens such as myself do to support your efforts?
Well, I think the key to anything, and I'm sure Richard will agree with this, is education. The work Richard is doing now all over the country, I know he's made four or five times that I've seen him in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to just present not only the information regarding his successful fight regarding the Brady Bill, but to just make people aware of what's happening and how important it is that they understand the oath of office that every elected official takes. I mean, Richard mentioned that in the beginning. Everyone takes that oath of office, and it's sworn to support, obey, and defend the Constitution. He gives a wonderful presentation. I know he's been all over the country from coast to coast and north and south, east and west to present that. And education is the first step, because people don't know. And once they begin to know and they begin to come aware, then they will get more involved, whether it's to support the constitutional sheriffs and peace officers, or to support their local sheriff, or to just plain begin to insist that elected officials and the judiciary and everyone uphold their constitutional oath.
I think that's very important, Bunny. Some of the things that I see happening across the country right now, especially during this election campaign, is there is now a much greater interest by the average citizen in our own, in our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And I teach a class here at the University of Iowa, and the first thing that I do when I walk into my class is I hand everyone a copy of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And the Declaration of Independence, and that is a copy that has been provided to me by you, Sheriff Welsh, which I thank you very much. And it's surprising how, for many of our college students, this is the first time they have ever actually held a copy of the Constitution. Our educational system just isn't teaching the Constitution like, you know, many decades ago when I was in school, and we had to really understand all the checks and balances in the three branches of government. And so I think that education is supreme, because an educated public is essential to a free people.
Absolutely. And they're not teaching it in the schools. You're right. I often get the opportunity to talk to kids, and I can remember, I mean, they don't know the basics. It's amazing to talk to some high school kids and ask them what the three branches of government are. I mean, a simple question like that where you would think they would begin to understand, and they really don't.
Well, I really want to thank both of you today, Sheriff Mack, Sheriff Welsh. This has been a fantastic program, and I've had my eyes open to what's going on out there. I knew things were bad, but I didn't know they were as bad as they are. And with these new laws that are being passed, or their Congress is trying to pass to get the military involved here as a police force on our own shores, this is absolutely outrageous. Mm-hmm. So, thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, this is Pat Barron with Radio Free Market. I thank you for being with us today. You can visit us on our website at radiofreemarket.com. You can subscribe for free to all of our shows, or you can subscribe on iTunes. And all of our shows are archived for easy download. And thank you very much, and please stand up for freedom.